All right, so now we enter into Avodah Zarah of, you wouldn't say inanimate objects, because most of Avodah Zarah has to do with inanimate objects, but of things that are stuck in the ground, like a mountain, or a hill, or a stream, or a river. So let's say somebody worships the mountain, or a tree. Ah,
all right.
So a tree is the most prominent, or somewhat disputed issue, because there seems to be two conflicting psukim when it comes to trees of Avodah Zarah. So one of them appears at the very end of Parshas Va'aschanan, Parak Zayin Pasukei. It says, "Kim kota sulahem yizvachu sechem titotsu," that the rather associated with them, their altars shall you break apart. Umatse vosam tishaberu, you will break apart their pillars. V'yashirehem tigadehun, and you will, in their sacred trees, you shall smash down. Upsileim tisrafun beish, and their idols you will burn into a fire. So what does it seem to say there to do to the trees? That you're going to destroy the trees. You're going to uproot and destroy the trees. So that's the end of Parshas Va'aschanan. So then comes Parshas Ekev, and then comes Parshas Re'eh. So Parshas Re'eh, Parak Yud Beis, Pasuk Beis. So how does it begin there? Abid Tabdun Es Kol Mekamos. You're going to utterly destroy all the places. Asher Abdu Sham HaGoyim, where they worshipped. Asher Atem Yershim Osam Es Elohim. Al Harim Haramim V'Al Hagvos. V'sachas kol eitz ra'anan, that on the high mountains and on the hills and under every leafy tree. So what is then implied from that pasuk? That you're going to destroy everything that's on the mountains and everything that's on the hills, but not the mountains and not the hills, and everything that's under the leafy tree, but not the tree itself. So that is a issue that is the, that is underlying this, that the Gemara speaks about, that the Mishnah speaks about, that the Gemara speaks about, and that is the underlying issue as we enter into Simen Kuf Hei. So I guess we'll start with the tour. The tour says in Kuf Mem Hei Sif Aleph, Einis Avodah Zarah El B'Davar She'ish Bo Tfisas Yad Adam Hilkach Hamishtacha Ve'Lahar Lo Nasar. The only thing that is prohibited as Avodah Zarah. Now, this is, by the way, only with regards to the object. If one bows down to a mountain, they violate Avodah Zarah. If one bows down to the stream, they violate Avodah Zarah. This is, what about the object itself? So a non-Jew cannot make an entire mountain prohibited upon Jews simply because they have worshipped it as Avodah Zarah.
Right? Right. The sun.
So to the sun, right. So the sun is not brought up here. I don't want to say it's obvious, but you would say the same reason the sun should be obvious, the mountain should be obvious. But you wouldn't, I guess, climb on the sun, you would climb on a mountain.
You can't avoid benefiting from the sun.
And there's also things, and there are also things on the mountains. I mean, that's what really the basis of the pasuk. And in fact, if one assumes that that pasuk is not talking about Asherah trees, so it's referring to the places where you're going to find the Avodah Zarah. So on every mountain and every hill, you're going to find the Avodah Zarah. And under all the leafy trees, you're going to find the Avodah Zarah. That sounds like, as opposed to the tree itself. That's what it implies for that passage.
Right.
Anyways,
Sayinis
Avodah Zarah El B'davar She'ish Bo Tfisas Yad Adam Hilka Chamishtacha V'Lahar Lo Nasar. So therefore, anything that a person can hold, so therefore a person bows down to a mountain, so the mountain doesn't become prohibited. V'afilu Avnei Har Shenizdaldalu, and even the stones on the mountain that get dislodged, V'adayin Hein V'mukoman, but they're still kind of in their place, in a Nesarm, they don't become prohibited. V'chein Hanaros Hamayanos Shel Ravim. So too the Naros and the Mayanos are the springs, Shel Ravim, of everybody. Now, it's a little, the Shulchan Aruch will also say things Shel Ravim, and the Nosakim will ask, why only Shel Ravim? What about if it's somebody's private stream? That's going to become prohibited of Avodah Zarah? So probably not. That's probably not the halacha. That's a deal that has to do with something else, not having to do with this halacha. Okay. And then it says Vilanos Shalonatan Lashem Avodah Zarah in a Nasarim. And then trees that were not planted for the purpose of Avodah Zarah are also not going to be prohibited. So that's how at least we would understand the distinction in the Psukim. All the trees that have to be uprooted were those that were planted Lashem Avodah Zarah. Those that were not planted l'shem Avodah Zarah, so it sounds like that those would not be prohibited.
But anything underneath them.
But I think, well, meaning the idols underneath them.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I mean, that's what that pasuk is telling you. It's telling you where to, if, assuming those things are not actually prohibited, it's telling you where you're going to find the Avodah Zarah. Right? So under the trees is where you're going to find. Is where you're going to find the Avodah Zarah. So mikol makom. Even though the tree itself is not going to be a problem, when you bow down to it, all of the branches, leaves, and fruit that come from that tree are going to be prohibited for ana, as long as they are worshipped. Okay, so that is the halacha. Mountains, hills, streams are permissible. Trees, it sounds like, are permissible, presuming that they were not planted for that purpose. And but only the tree itself, not the branches and the leaves. The branches and the leaves could become prohibited if they are worshipped. How one, where one draws the line between the stump versus the branch, I don't know. All it says here is trees versus the branches.
Detached.
That's what it sounds like. It sounds like if you pull the leaf off, so then that's going to be a, that's going to be asur bahana. It sounds like. I don't make it up. That's what it says here. Okay, so now in the basis, there's a few interesting things to say. First of all, it says, Vafilu avnei har shenizdadlu. So even the stones of the mountain that became loose. So the Reis Yosef comments, Sham plukta damurai. That's machlokas amurayim. Idainihu kahar. Do we count the stones that became loose? So do we count them like the mountain? Of course, they weren't created by man. Okay, I think I translated that wrong before. Tfisas yad adam is translated as that created by man, not that a person would hold on to them. So do we assume that a stone, even though it's loose from the mountain, was not created by man? So therefore, it's going to be mutter. Therefore, it's going to be mutter bahana, just like the mountain itself. Oh, lav came to Telushas Nino. Or do we assume that because it's separated from the ground, it's going to be considered prohibited? Now, the Gemara itself has that machlokas, and the Gemara itself is unclear who says what opinion. It's one of those, there's two Amorayim, one says this and one says that, and we're not sure which one said which. At least that's the way the Bavli says it. So the one opinion is that these stones are going to be prohibited, and one opinion is that it's going to be permissible. So how should we pass in that case? So says the Rambam, pasuk Rambam, v'perakas keman deshari, like the mutter opinion, like the kula opinion. So v'tema lavaram. The Ran asks, wait a second. Should the kevin de lo itmar v'gemar hilchos hakechad minayu? The Gemara never says who we pass in like in that case. Islam leminkat luchumra. We should pass in luchumra. Right, so why? So it's a kasha on the Rambam. Right, at the basis he is quoting the Ran, who's asking a question on the Rambam. Right, why should the Rambam paskin l'kula on this question of the loose stones that are on the mountain? It should paskin l'chumra on that question because it's a machlokas in the Gemara, and we should paskin l'chumra stringently because it's a suffik d'oraisa. We should paskin l'chumra. Right, it's a suffik d'oraisa that it's unclear how to interpret the psukim. Right, it's a various pasuk about the mountains. So I mean that makes life kind of difficult if you're going to say that even the loose parts of the mountain are going to be considered aser bahana. But anyways, that's the question. V'chin pasuk harama. That's the way the Ramah passes as well.
It's not really man doesn't have any role in creating those stones. Just dislodging them. It's a little different than...
Well, it's unclear whether man is the one who dislodges them. Also, you know, you go to a mountain...
Right. But even if you did, you can create the weapon. It's a little...
Yeah, I don't agree with that. I have the same problem. Why should this stones, unless they were rearranged somehow, why should the stones on the mountain be also...
Well, what's the reason that the mountain's not usher? That's really what's going on in that Gemara. The Gemara wants to know why is it that the mountains are permissible? So either because man didn't make them in both tfusos yad. Now why should that make a difference? Okay, that's a good question. That's what the Gemara says. The Gemara says mishum in both tfusos yad. That's one reason. Or the other reason is because that it's just part of the ground or something. So if it's tulushos, so if it's separated, so which one is it? Right? So that's gonna.
Didn't make it, even if it's separated. There's lots of rocks all over the place.
If that was the reason, it would be permissible. Right? If that's the reason that mountains are permissible, the rocks would also be permissible. Mm-hmm. That's what it's saying. But if the reason is simply because it's attached to the ground, so it's no longer attached to the ground, so therefore it's going to be prohibited. Of course, I mean, if you bow down to a mountain, you're not really bowing down to the somebody. It's unclear what the Hodazar is of a mountain, but if somebody thinks Mount Everest represents a god, so you aren't bowing down to, oh, not only is Mount Everest a god, but every little pebble that's on Mount Everest is god too. It's a little hard to understand that. But anyways, so Rambam paskins the cool on that question. So if someone comes home with a stone from Mount Everest, well, I don't know if Mount Everest is worshipped or not. If one could find a worshipped mountain and someone would come home with a stone from it, so the Rambam at least paskins l'kula on that question. We'll see. So it has. We'll see what level, how far down the scrutiny on that goes. So hold that, and then let's continue on to the next little section here. He also says the rivers here. That's also Gemara. That water, publicly owned water, does not become prohibited. Okay. Next. Now, if the trees were not planted for Avodah Zarah, so they're not going to be prohibited. So, Shamba Mishnah, Ifligu Tanakam of Rabbi Yossi Haglili. So that's this machlokas in this Mishnah in Avodah Zarah. Oki Rav Sheshes Pluk Taihu Bi Ilon Shinatu Uvesof Avdu. So Rav Sheshes claims that the machlokas in that Mishnah about these trees is a case where it was planted and then was worshipped. The Tanakama Savar Mutter, Rabbi Yosef Glili Savar Aser. The Tanakama holds that such trees would be permissible. Rabbi Yosef Glili holds that such trees would be prohibited. That's the Mishnah of Avodah Zarah. Operish Rashi, the Tanakama Harim V'Gvaos Sharu V'Chol Kiyotzi Behem, meaning the mountains and the hills are permissible, and so too all things like them, Shemichubarim, in that they are attached to the ground, or they are the ground. And they weren't originally there for the purpose of Avodah Zarah. The Ezo hi Ashera Asura. So what then is the Ashera that is prohibited? So it must be that when it says you have to uproot all the Ashera trees, that must be that it was planted originally for the purpose of Avodah Zarah. The Tfisas Yad Adam Enoklum. That the idea that a man can create it, so eino klum elim kain he l'shem avodah zarah, aval natu garin shelo l'shem. One second, natu mitchila l'kach. The tfisas yad adam, the idea that a person can make it, eino klum elim kain he l'shem avodah zarah. That idea that a person can make it, meaning a person can plant trees, so that only works if he did it for the purpose of Avodah Zarah. But once it's already growing, so man didn't make it for Avodah Zarah, it's not going to be Asherah. Aval natu garin. But if he plants a garin, shalol l'shem, what? Seed. A seed, I'm sorry, a girin, like garinim, right? A girin, shalol l'shem Asherah, right? In the zot tvisas yad adam. That's not considered tvisas yad adam. Hol v'ahi shaisa lav daiti l'Avodah Zarah. Right? Umati le mitachas kol eitz, below eitz atzmo. And that falls into the pasuk of under all trees is prohibited. I mean, you're going to find the idol that's under the tree as opposed to the tree itself when the tree was planted for Avodah Zarah, in which case the tree itself has to be uprooted. Good. Alan, you're strained.
Yeah. Just the last...
He's just explaining this idea that if it's planted l'shem Avodah Zarah, so then man created it, and man created the Avodah Zarah. So, if it was planted already, and now it's existing, so man cannot declare it Avodah Zarah because he didn't create the Avodah Zarah. It was created, and then he turned it into Avodah Zarah. So pasuk Rambam zal perches katan kavchin pasuk Aran b'chasam miu efshu dafka shenotin garin. That only might be if you plant a seed. Aval natu yichur mitzar v'yispar lefanein b'siyat dishmai. But maybe it could be that if you plant a shoot, so that makes it worse. That makes it worse. Why it should make it worse, I'm unclear on at this point. V'achar kach, kasav kaimolan ketanakama, and this is the explanation, that the sphere laid the ilan shenatu l'vasof avdu, that if you have a tree that was planted and then was worshipped, mutter, right, then it's permissible. V'afilu l'rav, the Amar Hamishtachavet Lebayis asu, even according to Rav, who holds that if you bow down to a house, you have the ability to prohibit the whole house. Mishum de kasavar talush uvasof chavru ketalush dami. Because there he holds that if it was separated and then you attached it, it's like it's still separated. Meaning a house is not a natural outgrowth of the ground. Even though it's attached to the ground, it's still considered separate from the ground. Ikalamemer, the honey mili, bias. That's only by a house. About Elon, kiven sheyeshbo shirashim bekarka, but a tree that has roots that go into the ground. Dinu kimachubim bekarka. That's considered meikaro. That's considered as if it was attached originally. Avam divirashi near the Elon nami kol shenatu yichor ketalish dami. That, however, Rashi says as well that if you plant a shoot, that's also going to be considered as if it was talish. I mean, that's already considered like a house that's being planted. Okay, so the shoot is a little subject to this little machlokas here.
So I'm not sure I kind of drifted. What's the difference between the shoot and the garin?
So he suggests that a garin sounds like it's going to be worse. That a garin, you can plant with the idea that this is going to be a vodazara, and you've created the entire thing, as opposed to a shoot, where you're planting something already existing. It's like planting a house.
Uh-huh.
So a house is considered planted. It's uh-huh. It's as if it's tullish and then continues to be tullish. Continues to be... wait, I'm sorry. And that sounds like it's going to be... it's going to be a problem then. It makes it worse, right? That's why it makes it worse. Because if you have a shoot, so then it's considered as if it's always tullish. And if it's always tullish, so then you have the ability to make a talush thing of Vodazara. Something that's separated from the ground can become a Vodazara. Just like Rav says, you can bow down to a house and cause the house to become a Vodazara, even though the house is attached to the ground, mm-hmm. right? That's because it's not really part of the ground.
Uh-huh.
A root
would be...
Now, he suggests... So a shoot is a machlo... So a shoot is in between. A shoot is, on one hand, a seed goes into the ground, it gets planted...
Yeah.
And then comes up. So that's clearly
a tree. Yeah.
Right, a house is above the ground. A shoot has a little bit of both. On one hand, you're planting the thing above and it stays above, but it also has roots that expand underneath.
Yeah.
So that's going to be subject to this machlokas about whether a shoot is going to... Can a shoot, if someone plants a shoot, do they have the ability to make that a vodazara or not?
So if he plants it with garin, it doesn't have it. For
Zara,
then it's never forbidden even
right.
subsequent use. So I gather with a shoot, it would not be the case.
Right.
It would still be forbidden even if you
planted. Right, he'd have the ability to prohibit the yichor. Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
So even he planted the garin for a Zara, then
no, that would be a problem.
That's a problem.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. Right. Okay.
So one if he just planted stone.
Okay, so with that, let's go to the Shulchan Aruch now. Moving, okay. So Kuf Mem Hei Sif Aleph says... So in Kufim Hey Sifal, we say Kol She'im Bo Tfisas Yad Adam Velo Asu Adam Afal Pisha Neva Harizem Mitterbana. Anything that has the Tfisas Yad of a person that he can hold, he doesn't have, a person can't hold, or a person didn't create, Velo Asu Adam Afal, or he didn't make, Afal Pisha Neva Harizem Mitterbana. Even though he was worshipped, so it could be permissible Bana. Lefichach, Hamishtach Velahar, Lo Nasar. Therefore, if he bows down to a mountain, it doesn't become prohibited. Vafilu avnei har shenudaldu, and even the stones on the mountain that become loose, v'dayehim b'makom, are still in their place, the avdam and our worship, inam nesam. They're not going to be prohibited. So it's interesting, right? The Rambam, the Beis Yosef quotes a question on the Rambam, doesn't answer that question on the Rambam, but yet Paskins like the Rambam anyways. Right? He quoted the Ran and the Ramah, passing against the Ram. Why is the Ram so willing to be makel here? It should be Safik Doraisa Lakula. A Safik Doraisa Lachumra. We should be Machmer on this question. So why is he so lenient on the stones that are bouncing around? So let's.
Let's just take one with Rush.
Well, no, no. He clearly looks at the other guys because he quotes all the other guys. Right. So he writes that I'm passing like the big three: Rambam, Rush, and Riff. And two out of three are going to win. That's what he writes, except for when he doesn't. So,
okay.
Yeah. So the Shach here quotes this. We'll on this. Let's. So just to put closure, let's just take a look at the Shach on this. But the Shach says, Shach, Aleph, Filu Avanim are going to be Mutter, Zehu Das Harambam, Vaharan Temalav, right? The Ran asks, wait a second, Kevin de Ika Plukta, Tzamachlukas, Havali Svekuda Raisa Luchumra. You should go Luchumra on it. Vachasav Shekin Pasak Haramah, so to the Ramah holes, right? Rav Moshe, Rav Meir Abu Lafia, right? Umeviu Beis Yosef, and Beis Yosef quotes it. Bais Chadash Kasav Yishuv LeDivrei Harambam Medvarb DeChukimod. He quotes the Bais Chadash. Bais Chadash who quotes an answer for the Rambam, which the Shach doesn't like so much. V'chinu Kesef Mishnah Kasav Yishuv She'enu Nir. And also the Kesef Mishnah writes something which is unclear. Now the fact that the Kesef Mishnah wrote something is significant, right? Because who wrote the Kesef Mishnah? The same person who wrote, right? Person coincidentally named Rav Yosef Karo, who also wrote the Beis Yosef and the Shulchan Aruch. So it could be that even though the Shach might not like his answer in the Kesef Mishnah, it could be that he liked his answer in the Kesef Mishnah and felt that that was sufficient enough reason for me to pass on like the Rambam against those that argue. However, comes the Shach and says he doesn't like any of those answers. Bilfiza hayanir lahachmir, and therefore I think one should be machmir on this question. Va'od the gam shegam Rabbein Yeruchim. Chelak dal kasav upashet hamishtachavim leavnei har shenidaldulu asurim. Rabbi Yochum writes as beferish shein dinim kahar. They're not like the mountain, and therefore they should be considered prohibited. V'chein perish harayved behasagos. So the Ravid says
they are not like what is not.
They're not like the mountain that's okay. Mutter. Rather, they're asur. Aval lefia niyazdaisi das harambam barur. He says, however, I think I understand the Rambam's reasoning. Now, okay, there's going to be two methodological issues here. One method, we'll do the first one now. The Shach doesn't seem to, even though the Shach seems to give a clear answer to the Rambam, he doesn't change his mind on the Psak, right? He said, it doesn't seem to. He says, therefore I think you should be Machmir. He quotes these people that have problems with the Rambam. He says, however, I think I understand the Rambam. And he's going to give you the answer for the Rambam. Now, I'm going to have a problem with the answer for the Rambam also. But I don't think the Shach changes his psak, right? Even though he seems to like the Rambam, the fact, in which is his way also, he, although the Shulchan Aruch takes three and two out of three wins, the Shach takes 50 and majority wins. So it could be that he's lining up these people, even if you want to say that the Rambam has a good Svara. I think I'm going to pass against him anyways, but let's see how he... Okay, so that's item issue A. Issue B is how he explains the Rambam. He says, the b'shas misfeka I b'nei Rabbi Chia, dahinu Chizkiya Shari, Rabbi Yochanan Aser, o Ibcha. He says, it's unclear from our Gemara who's the one who Asered. Was it Rabbi Chia, or was it Rabbi Yochanan? Right, Ibcha, or is it the opposite? However, Yerushalmi, but if you look in the Yerushalmi parakolat salam alachavav, Isa behedi the Chizki Yashari, Rabbi Yochanan Aser. Right? If you look in the Yerushalmi, so the same Gemara there is mentioned, or the same opinions are mentioned, and Chizki Matirs, and Rabbi Yochanan Asers. Okay? V'im Kain, lo shafkinen mai de pshita li Yerushalmi, v'shu mai de misfeka le shasti dun. And if so, it's unclear what was obvious to the Yerushalmi was a question to our Gemara. So, I mean, we don't have to leave that which was obvious to the Yerushalmi for what is questionable in our Gemara. So that is also a methodological issue, right? Because, so what is the Shach doing, or at least the Shach is alleging the Rambam is doing, that the Rambam would prefer a certainty in the Yerushalmi over a questionable statement in the Bavli.
Rabbi Yochanan is more likely to be
Hold on for one more second. But Ode that Rabbi Yochanan gufei chiver Yerushalmi. Not only that, Rabbi Yochanan is the writer of the Yerushalmi. So One would think that Rabbi Yochanan would be pretty certain about what he held when he wrote the Yerushalmi, right? V'im kain al korcha Rabbi Yehuda atzmo, oh, Rabbi Yochanan atzmo omer shehu oser. V'im kain adavar bar the kaimelin kechiskiya deshari. And therefore, it should be clear that we should paskin like Chiskiya, who is matir on it. Okay, so now getting to Shelton, therefore we should pass on like Chiskiya, because we pass on like Chiskiya against Rabbi Yochanan. That's what it sounds like. The problem is, we don't pass on like Chiskiya over Rabbi Yochanan. That if one looks in the Encyclopedia Talmudit under the heading Halacha, that is one of the longest entries in the Encyclopedia Talmudit, and there it goes through every machlokes tanayim and amorayim possible, every configuration possible, and tells you how we decide in each of those machlokesim. So I was able to track it down today, and yes, that is, and we pass on like Rabbi Yochanan over Chiskiya. That's question A on this issue. Question B on this issue is that the Rif says at the very end of Erevin that when we have a machlokas Yerushalmi and Bavli, we pass on like the Bavli because we hold halacha kebasrai. That's actually the origination of this idea that we pass on like the later opinion over the early opinion, which the assumption being that the Bavli looked at the Yerushalmi and decided what to take and what not to take. Now, whether that holds across the board, you know, we're talking about scrolls and Megillahs transfer going over hundreds of miles, where they had every possible machlokas is, you know, unclear, but if one wants to take this approach that, oh, well, they obviously must have seen what it was in the Yerushalmi, so, well, maybe there was a reason that the Bavli put it in doubt that which the Yerushalmi held for a certainty. And also the idea that Rabbi Yochanan wrote the whole thing, even that, Rabbi Yochanan edited the whole thing. I don't know whether he actually wrote, I don't know enough about these issues to really comment on that. But Shach makes these comments here, makes a bunch of assumptions, which I would want to see more before assuming lalacha. And then the ultimate question is, well, when all the dust settles with the Shach, he says the reason the Rambam was so sure is because Chiskiya paskin leheter, but we generally paskin like Rabbi Yochanan over Chiskiya. So, don't know what to do with that, but I think it raises a whole bunch of interesting, methodological issues here.
Unless he's saying that Yochanan wouldn't have put Chiskiya in, if he was right, he would have.
I don't think about that. Was Rabbi Yehuda Nasi put everyone else in? I mean, that's, or Meir put everyone in. Okay, so that's issue A with the rocks on the mountain. Practically speaking, I don't really understand how that. Where that would really show up halacha, that I'm bowing, forget about nowadays, even in those days, that I'm not bowing down to the mountain. It's actually hana from the mountain.
Yeah, right.
So if I want to get hana and then use those rocks, those rocks that were never moved, right, so that would be the issue. Okay, fine, that comes up. Okay, so v'chein hanaros v'hamayanos shel rabin. So that's the next line in the Shulchan Aruch. So to the rivers and the springs that are belong to many people. So the Shach comments on this as well. Kasav Hayturizav and Beis, the lo lav dafka. It's not dafka publicly owned rivers. Ella shigeres lishna deshas. Rather, it's just quoting the way that's quoted in the Gemara. Nakid fuhu adin nar umayan shel yachid. But it really would apply to rivers and springs of a individual as well. Given the time of who the mechubar, but the reason doesn't have to do with public or private. It has to do with whether it's attached to the ground or not. So inu nesar el del inyan nesachim yish chiluk bein rabim liyachid. With regards to the issue of libations, there's a distinction between public and private. That must be what the Gemara was referring to, and I didn't cover the rest of the shach to figure out what he's talking about in terms of the what one would be libating and what one wouldn't be. But in terms of the din in Shulchan Aruch, right, even if you find out that some Indians were bowing down and worship some river as a god, one is still permitted to drink the water of that river. Okay. Next in the Shulchan Aruch says, "V'chena naros v'amiel shel rabim v'ilanus shelo natan l'shem elilim inam nesar." And also trees that weren't planted for the purpose of for being gods, so inam nesar. So those aren't going to be prohibited either. When we call makom afal pi shelo nesar gufa ilan, even though you're not prohibiting the gufa ilan, the I don't know, the tree itself, whatever that means, Kol hasurigim v'ha'elim v'ha'perus shiyotze kol zman shehu nevar asurim bana. All of the branches, leaves, and fruit that come out from it, as long as it is worshipped, it is going to be prohibited for hana. So that we learned already.
Because someone has designated.
Because you, right, I guess they're detached. Detached, that would be a problem. Right. So the Shach points out here, I don't know if you have it as a parentheses and brackets or not, but he says Vilanos in Gimel. So Vilanos Mashma Afilu Natan Yichur. He says Yachid. It says Yachid in my parentheses, and it has brackets. In parentheses, right? It takes out the yachid and puts in yichur. So even if one is planting a shoots, it's going to be the same thing. Have a mechubar ve'inu nesar b'yishdachav alahem v'haynu kedas haran. And that's therefore we're passing like a ran on that. V'chein v'chasav. Okay.
So there's no difference between the shoot and the therein.
Right. That's what he's saying. Right. And then the other shach said, in Dalit is shelo natan. But if it was planted for the purpose of being a avodah zarah, for being an asher, then it would be prohibited. Okay, that's enough for Aleph. Fine. Beis. So I'll just stay up front here. So davar she'ein bo tfisas yaday adam shenevad afapi shenevad atzmo. Mutter b'hana, tzipuyav aser b'hana. So he says, even though, notwithstanding everything we said in Sif Aleph, that if you can't, if it wasn't created by man, even though the thing that you're worshipping itself is going to be mutter b'hana, meaning the mountain, tzipuyav aser b'hana. There's a covering to it that's going to be prohibited for hana. So what is that referring to? So it sounds like it's based on the pasuk in Chumash. Where what does it say? It says Al harim haramim vi al hagvaos. You have to get rid of all the things that are on the mountains or on the hills. So anything that even if you're bound down to the mountain, if there was something that was put on the mountain to make it nicer, you put a big crown there or something. So that's going to be that is going to be aser b'hana, and that's just a gzeiras hakasav. It sounds like even though it's buttled to the mountain itself, it's still going to be prohibited. Adds the Rama here, Misham Shehar Havi Kitsipuyav of Aser. Aval Takrovesar Eino Nesar. Now he adds in, this is based on a Rabbeinu Yerucham that's quoted in the Beis Yosef, that things that are helping the mountain are going to be prohibited, but if it is brought to the mountain, takroves to the mountain, so that's not going to be, that doesn't have the status of being usher, which is a pretty big chiddush. How do we understand that? Because it's Gemara and Chulin that seems to say that. That things that are worshipped towards things that would not be violations of avodah zarah are not going to be prohibited, are not going to assume the status of takroves of avodah zarah. So if the Indian hair was being offered to a mountain rather than to a god, so it sounds like there wouldn't be an issue of the Indian hair.
So if you brought it to the mountain and it wasn't on the mountain itself, it's not awesome.
No, if it's on the mountain is like what you're worshipping. So if it's on the mountain as some kind of
offering.
Not really as an offering, but like as a decorations to the mountain.
Yeah.
Somehow they would put something up there. So that would be considered a noy avodah zarah, and that would be a problem. That would be al harim. That would be the thing that's prohibited in the pasuk. But if it's only takroves to the mountain, so if the mountain itself is not going to be prohibited, the things brought to the mountain aren't going to be prohibited either. So any worship offering towards that, it sounds like it's going to be okay. It's not going to undertake a prohibition of anan. That's based on the Gemara and Chulin about shechting to these, and it sounds like it's okay. That you might violate avodah zarah by doing it.
Okay.
right? But the thing's not necessarily, and the Gemara, because the Gemara only says it that the thing is aser ba'achila. It's talking about shechita. So if a person shechs levod to a mountain, I think there it's actually shechs to another animal, which is also similar. But if you shech to a mountain, so you violate avodah zarah, but you didn't, and the food is going to be aser ba'achila. Why is it not aser ba'hana? It's aser ba'achila because the shechita is no good, but it's not aser ba'hana because it's not actually takarovas avodah zarah. Okay, and with that we should go back to the Beis Yosef itself, I think. Yeah. So in Sif Gimel it says Talish Ubasof Chavro. So Chashiv Katalish. So if it was separated and was then connected, it's considered like it was separated. Lefiha Chabone Bayis Lavoda Zara. I'm in the Beis Yosef, although it's quoting the Torah. Chabone Bayis Lavoda Zara Ushematsu Banoi Vishtachavelo Neser Miyat. So one who builds a house for Avoda Zara, or you found it built and you bow down to it, it's going to be prohibited immediately. So one can prohibit a building by bowing down to it. Now, the first language is a little bit ambiguous. Habona bayis le'avodah zarah. So the house, it sounds like, is takrovis. Is that actually a church? Not exactly. Let's see what it says in the Beis Yosef. So Sham Amar Rav Mishtach v'labayis asur. So you bow down to a house, it prohibited. Amal kasever telish l'vasov chavro ketelish dam. It's still considered separate. Vahanan banu tanan. Banu afal pishelo yishtachavelo, yishtachavelo afal pishelo banu. So if you built it, even if it wasn't bowed down to, or if it was bowed down to, even if you didn't build it. So perish Rashi hadas rinan bayis shebanu mitchila l'shem avodah zarah, haynu kasha ovden es habayis atzmo. Now what does that mean when you built it originally for avodah zarah? Rashi interprets that as being that you're worshiping the house. So it's not a church. Churches, you're building a house to worship avodah zarah. Here, it's you worship. You're building the house to worship as avodah zarah. So the chasu atosos va'aran de al korchach tzarich lefarish kein sheilu lo haya habayis atzmo nevad have mishamshe avodah zarah. That if the house itself was never worshipped, lo haya habayis atzmo nevad have mishamshe avodah zarah, del deviakol inam asurim ad sheyavdu. That if it was just a house for avodah zarah, so then it's mishamish avodah zarah, and then it's only a problem. It's only usher. Inam. It's only becomes usher when you worship it. Aval kevin shabayis asmo nevad. If the house itself was worshipped, as you shaper the usher bivino. So then it's prohibited to build usher bivino as it's built. Aval pish lo yishtachav. Even though he hadn't yet bowed down to it yet, the asya command the amar avodah zarah shall nachri asur miyad kolomer aval pish adayin lo neta. Which is what we assume that avodah zarah for non-Jew becomes prohibited immediately, even if it hasn't yet been worshipped. So v'nira. So that's going on the first statement that it becomes prohibited immediately, even if he hasn't been bowed down to it. The second part is about a Yisrael. The difference between now a non-Jew has the ability to be mevatel avodah zarah, right? But a Jew does not. That's what the second half of this of that Beis Yosef has to do with. But I think we can see from here the ramifications of this lemaisa, particularly in Lower Merion, are immense, right? What is the status then of things that were built for avodah zarah? Does it always maintain that? And then can you maybe then use it for your own purposes? So if one goes back to the Shulchan Aruch now, I don't think we're going to get through all of this. We'll set the groundwork for next week. No pun intended. Groundwork? I don't know if there was.
Quasi-pun. I heard that.
Okay. So bayis shabanu mitchila. So what is the Shulchan Aruch? Say if it was built originally, sheyehei bayis atzmo neva, that the house would be worshipped. V'chein ha-mishtach ve'le bayis, banoi, or you bow down to a house that's built, hareza aser bana. The house is aser bana. Haya banoi v'sayado v'kaido l'shem elilim. It was built. It was plastered. It was chaido. I assume some other term like that for the purpose of Elilim, for the purpose of Avodah Zarah, Ad Shenischadesh Notel Ma Shechidesh. That which was added on for the L'shem Alilim, one would take down that which you added on. V'achidesh asur ba'na. That which was new is prohibited ba'na. V'vnesha asur la'avdo b'shar ha'bayis mutter. Because it was made to worship, but the rest of the house is going to be mutter. Meaning if there's an additional part added on to the house in order to be worshipped, so that part would become prohibited, and you would have to take that part down.
So now you're just talking about the fact that the house originally was not.
Right, and then was added on, so you would take.
Slap something else on.
Right.
Said, okay, this is Avodah Zarah.
Right, now this is probably the part that's most relevant, yeah. So, Hichnas Elilim Latoch Habayis. Now, if there were gods brought into the house, Kulzmach Husham, as long as they're there, Habayit Azar Bana. Hotzia Hutra Habayis. But once you take those things out, so then the house becomes permissible again.
It's the same thing as putting an addition of some sort on the house, which you just talked about.
Right. Adds the Rama, V'dafka shlo huksa bayis l'kach, as long as the house wasn't set aside for this, afal huksa l'kach eno mutter, elim kein hotzia misham derech bittel. So if it was set aside for that, it only becomes permissible if the idols were taken out in a way to nullify the place. D'ayinu shlo l'hachnis od sham, that they weren't going to be brought in ever again. Yisrael lo mahani bittel, but a Jew bittel doesn't work. It only works if a non-Jew would remove all the stuff that was in there. Again, al das that we're never going to go back in there again. So okay, so that's set. And you see that there's several statements of the Shach on this. And the truth is the ish. How does this then set the ground for using a church to turn it into a shul? So there's really two issues that are discussed. One issue is what seems to come out from here is what does it say? It says mutter bahana. Well, it really comes out from here is mutter bahana. So the Mishavura, the Magen Avraham says then in Orachaim, the Magen Avraham is not in your day, Magen Avraham in Orachaim, Hilchos Beis HaKnesa says, aha, if it becomes a mutter, it says mutter bahana, you're allowed to turn into a shul. So says the Mishnah Berurah, wait a second, it says you're allowed to, it's mutter ba'ana. And there I said you should actually go and use it for a mitzvah. To go ahead and use it for a mitzvah is perhaps an entirely different matter. So how to resolve that Mishnah Berurah himself, not to, this is an issue in our neighborhood. Mishnah Berurah himself is makel. Mishnah Berurah says that probably that Magen Avraham is what everybody who does this nowadays bases it on. Which strikes me as very interesting that in Lithuania this was a common issue that they would turn churches into shuls. I found that interesting. Mishnah Berurah seems to say like this is something that happens, which surprised me. But the Mishnah Berurah bottom line says it's splinter. Moshe Feinstein is not so comfortable with it. So I guess Mirza Hashem next week we'll go through what they have to say on the matter.
Radin.
I don't think so.